Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Gary Anthony, Sean O'Connor, and Wizuma. Coming up on TMS, you'll have no Brian, wait, no Bobby, and no Lieutenant Yar!
Wall of donuts.
My people call them suck balls.
Spay or neuter your crypto bros.
Leanne rhymes with what?
Yogi and Boo Boo. Strike in Asheville.
The Nintendo crescendo.
Schrodinger's obituary.
Can't fix the pee!
Spilly McSpill Cup McGee.
We pick up the poops. What more do you want?
The Quicker Taker outer.
Brian Dunaway brought the retro everything.
Life happens $6,000 at a time.
Star Wars Ask Star Wars with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm moving different. This shit ain't nothing to me, man. I'm a dog. I'm biting the fart bubbles into bath.
Vote for Johnson. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
This is The Morning Stream.
Ah, that's the level of stupid we're looking for.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, August 28th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Boy, this was a close one today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was close.
Near miss, everybody. Brian had internet problems, and we were just about going to have to last second Bobby in again, and he was very nice to be available for that.
Yes.
But then the tables turned once again, and your internet came back, and here we are.
Yeesh. Yeah. Yeesh. Yeesh. What a pain in the butt. It really is. It's just like, without going into all the details, my ISP told me it was up, everything's working fine. I reset my modem, lost all my settings, and then my ISP said, oh, wait, our mistake, it's down. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
That sucks. So, that's a whole, like, cut the blue wire, but first, cut the green wire. It's like, no, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, man.
Exactly.
All right.
Oh, crap, we've already all blown up. Oh, no.
Plus, so, you got home at, midnight or 1 or something.
Got
right?
home at midnight. It was, we had a late flight. We left Atlanta at 9 something. And basically we did that because we wanted to spend as much time with the Tadpool folks, specifically Chuck and Amy, who were absolutely the nicest to, for a multitude of reasons, but the last of which was driving us from Asheville back home with them to Atlanta. Mm. And then taking us to the airport. And if we had to fly out, like if we were going to fly out at what we would consider to be a normal time, we would have had to leave Asheville super early in the morning, and we would have paid for a car that we would have only used once, one day, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, That was nice, though. So, really nice. Jeez.
Extremely nice. I mean, if there's this whole... this whole weekend was just fantastic, and even before we even saw the wonderful Tad Peepoo, Tina and I got to spend a day or an evening in Savannah, Georgia, and I will say, this is, it was absolutely a wonderful, it's a wonderful little town. We met up with listener Jonathan and their girlfriend Amanda,
yep.
And... Wabbit Magic says, Brian, you only need to reset your modem defaults as a last resort. Well, thank you, Wabbit Magic.
That's what we thought. He thought he had a last resort situation. That's the idea.
Yeah, I thought it was in a last resort situation because nothing was working. Nothing was connecting. Anyway, thank you for that. But Savannah was beautiful. We didn't do any structured haunted tour, but Savannah is the most haunted city in America.
I didn't know that.
I looked online, found some stuff. Yeah, the Mercer House, the old city hotel where there were murders. That's now a brewery. That's where we met Jonathan and Amanda. And then of course we had to go through a graveyard, and we found the I'll never remember the name because my mind is all frazzled this morning.
Yeah.
But found a graveyard walking distance from our hotel, and boy, lots of really old, worn graves, and ones that are so old they have little metal braces propping them up.
Whoa.
And that sort of thing. And so lots of cool pictures.
Are those big stones, like big old gravestones?
Big old gravestones, but then some really small ones. And lots of people who died from dueling, and lots of people who died from yellow fever.
Oh, man, one's a quicker way to go, but the
yes, exactly, yeah. And neither one's fun, but
no. It'd be great though if somebody shot a guy from across the courtyard and then immediately died himself from yellow fever.
You got yellow fever on the bullet.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's right. We then met up the next morning with Chuck and Amy, who drove us up to these gorgeous cabins just outside of Asheville in like Wolf. Again, a combination of lack of sleep, getting in late, getting up early, still not sleeping very well, and then having to deal with the modem stuff. It was Wolf something. Wolf Creek? Is that it?
Wolf Creek. That seems... That's cool. Wolf Creek. We have one of those. So this was the Airbnb place you guys stayed?
Different from the one that they stayed in last year that had that weird teepee in the upstairs room.
Right.
This one was just fantastic for us. Like... two cabins separated by a third cabin that was being renovated. So we had a little bit of walking to do to get back and forth between the two cabins, but plenty of room for all of us, like tons of room for all of us, lots of room for board games. And Brian brought his entire retro setup. You'd think that, all right, well, you know, Brian's got VHS tapes. You'd think he'd bring a VCR and then some way to connect the VCR, like some little converter thing that would convert it to HDMI, because chances are you're not going to find component cables in the back of a brand new TV in an Airbnb.
Right.
No, he brought a 27-inch fat, heavy, dumb CRT television.
Yeah.
A VCR.
Yeah.
A turntable. A tape deck. Yeah. Cassette tape deck. And a VHS rewinder.
Whoa, what?
So, like, you know, not only could we watch a VHS tape, but then we could rewind it separately, and it's because he's Brian Dunaway is the deal.
He didn't bring any of his old NES or Genesis stuff or any of that?
Oh, no, he also, that's right, he also brought a PlayStation 2 and two Dance Dance Revolution pads.
Oh, my gosh,
and
dude.
A bunch of games like that.
What a nerd.
Yes.
What a nerd. I love that.
I know. It was hilarious. It was really, really funny. And so we actually did. We ended up watching a movie called Star Night. Oh, sad how I can remember that, but I can't remember the damn town we were in. This movie called Star Night, which had Harvey Keitel, really early Harvey Keitel role, post Taxi Driver, but pre everything else that Harvey Keitel did that was good. And then we watched the first 5-10 minutes of Space Hunters in the Forbidden Zone with Molly Ringwald, and but apparently everybody else stayed up and watched the rest of it.
You were like, you know, I'm not this young anymore, I gotta go to bed. It's 3 a.m.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then the next night they watched 1993 Merlin. We watched some of it. And September says, you missed 1993 Merlin. I'd say, well, I wouldn't say I missed it, September.
Yeah. Define the word missed.
Yeah. I'd say I left 10 minutes in. Tina, I left 10 minutes in, but I wouldn't say we missed it.
Because you could say you missed a bullet or you dodged a bullet. It's the same thing, really. You missed the bullet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
But so many, I'm going to forget somebody, but I'm trying to remember all the people there that were so awesome and friendly. We had Audie Norman, Paul Macias.
Audie made it. I didn't know he was
going. Audie made it, yeah. Dude looks great, too. Slimmed down.
Yeah, he's doing real good. That's great.
Brian, Shane, Natalie, Brian Pankey. We had three Brians. We had three Brians, so we had to stage the three Spider-Man
The pointing pose. Thing, yeah. That's good.
Yep.
Where is this? This is probably the Discord, that photo, I guess. Maybe.
Yes, it's definitely in Discord. Absolutely in the Southeast Meetup Discord, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Leanne.
Rhymes?
Leanne Rhymes. Yeah, Leanne Rhymes was there. Of course, Brian Dunaway.
Yeah. Perform live with Dunaway.
Who am I forgetting, folks? Tell me who I'm forgetting. Oh, Jaina, of course. Jaina Pride from our chat.
Jaina.
Well, yes, Tina.
Yeah, Tina was there.
I guess I never named her. I shouldn't forget the woman that I married that also was like the biggest volunteer to do anything to help out with everybody. No, I said you first, September. I guess I didn't mention Rob, but of course, yeah, you heard me mention September as well. But yeah, no, it was, I think that might be, I got Shane. I think I got everybody.
Did everybody? Yeah. And the only reason I know Shane was there for sure is he posted a video of him turning slowly in a room.
He did. I asked him if he did that. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm glad
I might've forgotten Rob, but I'm sorry, Rob.
Glad you guys had a good time. We were a little bummed about our cross scheduling because it would have been really fun to go down there. And Wendy was here yesterday and she was like, hey, we should do that next year where they go down south. I like the south. I said, all right. We'll make it work next time. She says, okay. And then she left.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple other things, though. Paul brought Return to Dark Tower.
Oh, how I saw the a photo of you guys playing that, and I was very curious. How was that?
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. It was a 4.5-hour game, but it was, this was the place to do it. Where else are you going to, have an opportunity to get in there and do it. Oh, there's Paul in the chat room right now. Yeah, and after playing it, so obviously Paul brought his copy. Amy has her copy. The four of us, it was Paul, me, Amy, and Brian Dunaway. And now Brian Dunaway are like, where can we buy copies of this? So if nothing else, Paul should get commission because...
Did that thing ever go retail? Can you get it anywhere?
It not yet. At least I haven't been able to find a retail yet, but there are people selling their Kickstarted copies, and there's like a game company that I think probably bought 10, or a game store that bought 10 of the full pledges that are selling those, and I'm going to try and get one of those, although, geez Louise, it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap, Scott.
No, they don't give that shit away. You're going to have to pay for that.
It's going to be $450 if I want everything, including all the miniatures and all that sort of thing.
Jeez, but that's a load.
Whew. That's a game that, like, you basically use an iPad or a tablet, or Android tablet or something, Pixel, to drive the game. It connects via Bluetooth to the tower and makes the game so much easier to, like, go through. You basically just go, oh, all right, it's Brandon Way's turn. Bloop, bloop, bloop. I'm going to fight this guy. And then bloop, 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 and drop some skulls. And it's like, it basically walks you through everything you need to do. And it's
play it without that if you had, like, I don't know, somebody didn't have a tablet?
You could.
Or a phone,
you absolutely could. I think you're going to be just using cards to simulate the randomness of things like boss fights and things like that. But, you wouldn't want to. After playing it with the tablet, if for whatever reason a tablet, a phone, an iPad was not available, I wouldn't play it that day. I would play something else.
Do something else with your four hours.
Exactly.
Because it'll be six hours without the tablet. It's the way that'll work. Well, that's great. That sounds like a blast. I experienced a fair amount of FOMO, which I don't usually have. I'm not a FOMO kind of guy, but I was thinking about all my friends and all my pals all together, and I didn't know Brian brought the 80s with him. Jeez Louise, Brian Dunaway.
He pretty much did. Yeah, brought all the 80s.
Hell yeah. And a little 2000s, I guess, with that PlayStation. But well, that's awesome. I had something happen that was funny as shit, and I have to share it. All right?
Oh, tell me.
So Kim and I got away for the weekend. The original plan was Moab, our $6,000 water bill repair bill changed those plans a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be something more fun. Although Moab's great.
Yeah, Moab's awesome. So, you know, whatever. But we ended up mostly downtown. And here's what's funny. So we're in this brand new Marriott. Very nice place, right? Mm-hmm. And they have this wall of donuts. You ever see this? Where a wall of donuts are like complimentary donuts and they're hanging on hooks and you're supposed to just take one. You ever see that?
No, I have not. That doesn't seem like you're going to get a good fresh donut if it's been sitting there hanging on a wall waiting for somebody to take one. But
well, the lady there seemed to indicate that this was a thing they only did during this 1 hour during the day. And we just happened to be there for that time so that they're sort of fresh, I guess. But it still seems weird. You just pulling donuts off a wall. It's weird.
It does. Yeah. Because, yeah, anyone can touch those donuts, at least when they're behind glass at the Winchell's. Only the person with the flimsy clear plastic gloves is touching them. Mm. But somebody might say, ooh, a pink sprinkle one. Oh, wait. And after they've touched the pink sprinkle one, now their hand is moving over to the Boston cream.
You're 100% where my brain was at on this. That's all
I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. I've worked with you long enough to know exactly where.
It's like, who has touched these freaking things and where are they now and that kind of thing. But yeah, the main thing is we were hot and we wanted water. And they also had strawberry water and lemon water. Just basically there's fruit in the water. So it has
kind of infused.
I always like that. It's always good, right?
Yeah.
So I load up. I'm there, and there's a guy behind me while I'm there loading up on, I think it was lemon water. And he's right behind me. And I'm tired and being a little sloppy, and I accidentally put the cup in a weird way and launched a bunch of water against the donuts, the wall, and the floor. Didn't mean to, but I just went, bleh, right? No. Just totally had a go. Now, not a big deal. Kim grabbed a bunch of napkins. I sopped it up, threw it away. I told the lady, hey, I don't know if it's a slipping hazard, but we just had a little spill over there. And she's like, oh, no worries about it. Whatever. This guy behind me witnesses this whole thing. Goes in to get his water. We then are mopping up while he's getting his water. Mm-hmm. So we're timing this all around the same time. We throw in the trash. I start to leave and head toward the elevator. He comes after us toward the elevators. Elevator opens up, bing, opens up. Nobody's in it. We're going up to the 7th floor. Mm-hmm. He's standing out front, and it's just Kim and I. So it's not like, you know, it's a big elevator. We got room for whatever you need.
Room for the three of you.
Yeah, no problem. He doesn't have luggage. We don't have luggage. Everyone's just a free wheeler in here. Yeah. I open the elevator, and I get in, and he stands out there staring at us. And I went, and I put my hand out to hold the thing shut. They're open. Yeah. And I go, are you coming? Yeah. You need to get in? You go in? He goes, oh, I'll wait for the next one. And the only thing I can think of was because I was I had my water, which I eventually got a full cup of because after the spill, I filled it again.
You refilled it, sure.
The only thing I can think of is he's looking at me going, I watched him spill that all over the place. I can't have this happen in the elevator.
Things are going to spill it all over the inside of the elevator.
Yeah, I really think that's what he thought I was going to do.
Did you check to make sure that when you had your spill splash that you didn't like have a big wet spot on your crotch that might have still been visible?
Now that you say that, I don't actually know. I don't have proof one direction or the other on that, but maybe I did.
Yeah.
Maybe I had a big splatter down there. Actually, I might have. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, really? Like it might have looked like you wet your pants?
Yeah, it looked like some kind of weirdo getting drug around by my, you know, my caretaker. I don't, you know, for all he know, he didn't know. But he wouldn't get in that elevator. And, man, I thought about that guy all day. It's like, why wouldn't
it
he get in here?
It easily could have just been something like, you know, there's the new variant of COVID going around. I can wait for the next elevator. No big deal. A lot of people are doing that. So
that's true. Could have been him just, maybe he just would rather not go up an elevator with strangers. That's fine.
Yeah.
I understand. People have that thing. You know, our own Tom Merritt hates elevators. He can't stand them.
Gets in there,
can't wait to get out of them. He's got an irrational, lifelong fear of elevators. And he's talked about it maybe not this show, but we've talked about it on some show before. But he's you know, so everybody's got reasons. But it just cracked me up that this guy just witnessed this water catastrophe and then was like, I'm not going near that guy.
You know, it easily even could have been that maybe he was a little sniffly. Maybe he's thinking, well, it could be allergies, but I'm going to hang back and let this attractive couple take the elevator ahead of me.
I'm sure. Look, your version is the new version. That's what I'm going with.
You like that? Yeah,
I like it a lot.
Yeah. You know, something I forgot about, by the way. We woke up... Saturday morning. So yeah, it was the next day after we'd all gotten there, and we'd had a full day there because we were waiting for Brian Dunaway to show up. And or was it Friday morning? Was it Friday morning or Saturday morning? Anyway, we woke up one of the two mornings and looked out the front window and saw that the car doors were open on a lot of the cars, the Tadpool members' cars in front of the Airbnb.
Oh.
And we're like, crap, are there some kids who basically just come up here, or some people who come up here and think, all right, we're going to rob the cars. We know people are asleep. We know they come up to the Airbnbs. Let's just break into their cars in the middle of the night, 'cause I'm sure they've got stuff. And as we looked, we noticed that inside the cars, it wasn't like glove compartments were open and stuff was rifled through, or consoles, middle, you know, between seat consoles was open up and stuff was gone through. But the things that were scattered all over the place were any bits of road food that you picked up on your way to the Airbnb and left in your car.
Uh-oh.
For the night. So we had picked up some lemon drop, as we call them, suck balls, lemon drops you suck on while you're driving.
Yeah.
Brian Dunaway had some Clif bars or some sort of energy bar kind of thing, and a thing of Mentos. It would have been Saturday, because during the day Saturday, we went into Asheville, went to some galleries, and that's when we met up with Dunaway, and then he came back to the thing with us. So yeah, this was waking up Saturday morning. So it was Friday. Jeez Louise. Friday, we met up with Dunaway. Yeah. Saturday morning, woke up to find the bear mess. Okay, there we go.
So it was a bear. It was a bear.
It was a bear. We were pretty much figured out that a bear had opened car doors, couldn't get into the Teslas, because they had a flat, the handle goes flat into the side.
Yeah.
And and we looked and we could even see like scratch marks, like claw marks in the little divot where your hand goes to pull open the door.
Yeah.
All I could think of was, oh, clever girl. Yeah. Clever girl. Yeah. But hilarious. Like, they just open the doors, get all the food out. All right, this car's done. You got that one? Oh, I'll come do this one, that one with you.
Ooh, and multiple bears, doors. Like more than one bear. Eh?
Well, I don't know. We don't know how many bears there were. Could have been just one. But yeah. But they ate everything except for Brian Dunaway's Mentos, which they just spread all over the passenger seat. And
Did this play while that happened right here? Hold on. Where the bears are like, all right, we're going to get out of this mess.
Exactly.
How are we going to do it?
And then the camera froze, and the bear looked at the camera and went, fresh maker.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Having a bear encounter, that's cool. It's a thing you tell your kids.
Yeah, well, you want, and that's the kind of bear encounter you want.
Yeah. You don't want them sniffing around your tents or any of that, but, you know.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, then Sunday morning. No, I guess it was also Saturday morning. While folks were making, September and Chuck made this incredible brunch for everybody. And while they were doing that, we went up, Brian Dunaway and Tina and Leanne and I did a little bit of hiking, went up just this little trail that came off this little cul-de-sac that we were parked in. And we were thinking, all right, well, it's just going to be in the woods and stuff. We'll do a little bit of hiking and see how things go. We round this corner and there's this big open field with a bunch of these weird machines. It kind of looks like in Lost when they come around this corner and they see all of the sound fence that the Dharma Initiative have set up, I guess, to keep polar bears out of that part of the island, or really to keep the others out of that part of the island.
And
we're like looking close at these things and we realize, wait a minute, these are snowmaking machines. So this is a slope. And then we go a little bit further and we find the ski lift that goes up to the top of this hill.
Really?
And so Dunaway and I went up to the very top of the hill. We sat in a ski lift. We found where you could turn the ski lift on, but we decided that would be a bad idea.
Two Bryans were killed today while trying to mess with a bunch of shit.
Exactly. More than 11. Just shot. Because it's not like we could do it very stealthily. Everybody on the mountain would see that ski lift moving, and they'd know there's only one place you can mm-hmm. be to turn that thing on, and yep. it's up at the top of the lift in that little box.
Yep. You would have got the local popo on you up there.
We would have easily, yeah. And there's no hiding. There was no, there's no getting away, because then we'd have to try and get down the hill back to our Airbnb.
So this is like in the colder months or something. They put up some artificial slopes.
Yeah, I think they make some snow and then people ski right there. And it's so hidden. There is no signage that says this way to the Wolf Creek ski hill.
The ski hill with only one switch to turn it on.
Exactly. Yeah, Icor says there might be a way to do it from the bottom too. Probably. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. What a fun thing to have happen to you. Bears and skiing.
Bears. Woo-hoo. Bears and skiing and delicious brunches. Bears brunches and Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, this man. What a combo. Triple
karaoke. That's also a video you can find in the Southeast Meetup Discord channel. You can see all of us doing karaoke. So
yeah, I saw a bunch of that. That looked awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a lift update for you. Okay.
Ooh, hit me. Hit me with a lift update.
It's a weekend without any lifting.
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
But we got some thoughts from a listener. This is from an anonymous listener who's texted us and said, "You also need to tell Brian this, that at the end of 2023, his Kia Soul will be ineligible to drive for Lyft. Might be able to do deliveries, but not ride people. Then again, maybe Lyft allows 10-plus-year-old vehicles, maybe 15, but Uber is only 10 years allowed. Is that true?
Yeah, Lyft is 15. So I've got basically right now it's 2008 or newer vehicles for Lyft. I don't know. So Uber is 10 years, so that's good to know in case
you ever dual boot,
yeah. But dual wield
your car. Yeah.
Dual wield my car. Yeah. Listen, would have been a year for me to buy a new electric vehicle if I didn't have to pay $6,500 at the end of 2022 to replace an engine.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of stuff I would do with that $6,000 I spent on water stuff. Lot of things. Look, you can't always tell what the future's going to bring, so you just take your hits. But holy shit, it's a lot of money, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not all, Jeff Bezos here.
Yeah, we're podcasters who do this in our basement in front of cheap sound panels we bought from Amazon for $8 a dozen or something.
That's right. We got a deal on it.
We're not, there's no Joe Rogan here. There's no Mark Maron's in our midst.
No. Oh, I did have one other thing.
So support us on Patreon today.
Yeah, on Patreon, everybody. Get over there. So we were, the only other thing I would say about our trip was it was all very relaxed and chill. We went on a bookstore hunt, like a crawl.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Like old books. We found like stuff from the 1800s. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
But real chill. But we the first night, I thought I was in Vegas again, because at about 9 o'clock, we get back to the hotel room around 9. Because we're old and lame. Mm-hmm. And we get up to our room, and all of a sudden some really loud music starts to play.
Oh,
like
no.
Like okay. Hilton Lobby like level.
Like unce, unce.
Yes.
Unce.
That's very techno. Okay. A little bit of singing. I couldn't quite tell what combination of genres we had going, but it was pretty loud. And the whole, and we were facing whatever this was. And at first I thought it was in the hotel. So I was like, what is this, BlizzCon 2013? What's going on here? But we get out and look, and there is a bar outside. Just across the street, and it looked like a really nice place. It had like an underground, or it's part of the underground river that runs through Salt Lake. It's part of, I forget which creek it's called, but there are a few buildings that feature this river going through their building, so it's like an indoor river. It's really cool.
Nice.
But they had theirs on their little outdoor thing, and they had this band or something, DJ, I don't know what, playing, and it was really loud to the point that like our room was kind of vibrating in a pretty brand new Marriott. Like, it's not like this is some crappy old hotel.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And it was really loud. And I thought, well, that'll go till like 10. This is fine. We'll watch Showtime
or whatever. We could tough it out for an hour.
We'll deal with it. Nope. That played till 2, 2:30.
No.
But by the time I was finally getting used to it, where I was going to fall asleep because I'm used to the sound, now that's going to help lull me to sleep, they stop. And now I can't sleep because the sound is gone. Do you know what I mean? It's like people get really into white noise or something, and then if you take it away, you can't you're just screwed. It was like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, that sucks.
It did suck. It did suck. But other than that, it was fine. The other nights they didn't do it, so it was good. All right. Well, we've got time for some news. I think we should get some news out.
Do some news.
This news isn't going to tell itself. So here you go, everyone. All right. Time for the news brought to you by
Sprinkling baking soda all over the shop.
Oh, right. Last night.
Is this also the donut?
Well, we had to host the dinner last night. We had to get back pretty quick because Wendy was here. So we had a dinner here. All the family came over and we just did the whole thing here. And Kim's insane on how she did it, but she made food as soon as we got
back from a vacation, and Kim's on host duty.
Yeah, it was nuts. But anyway, and part of it was my sister Misha would normally host, but they're moving, and so it's all in disarray. So we did it, and something like 30 people came over. But the side of my house is kind of my dog's toilet. We cleaned it up every day. Right, we go over there and pick up the poops and stuff.
Right, but that's where she likes to go, is on the side of the house.
Yeah, over on the side
walkway.
Yeah, exactly. And we're in our big patio thing that we sort of entertain on when we're hosting things is right there adjacent to that. Well, normally no big deal. We pick up the poo when it happens. You throw it out. You do whatever. Usually I try to walk him anyway. But one thing I didn't count on is it's August and it's hot. And the sun's out all day, and it just bakes the pee. It's the pee I can't do. I can't fix the pee.
No, yeah, that's seeped into the ground. Yep.
Uh-huh. So every once in a while, I would like just kind of waft over, and I was like, we can't have this tonight. This is not good.
We can't have people over. The place smells like urine.
It smells like urine back here. So I went out there. I was told that if you did this, it would work. And sure enough, it actually did. And I'm not sure how it worked, but I went out there with a big bag of Arm & Hammer baking soda, because what other brand even is there? And I'm holding it, and I'm just going, blah, just throwing out, blah, a bunch of this stuff on where the dogs pee. And then you water it down, and it's supposed to suppress, you know, the dog, any kind of dog stink from back there. And it worked.
Okay.
It went great.
Really?
Yeah.
It smelled great. All right, good. Yeah, you're supposed to, that stuff works with litter boxes as well. And,
it worked. I was surprised.
It's a good technique.
Yeah, I was a little shocked that it actually. I don't believe anything works until I see it anymore. That's how skeptical I am. And it worked,
fair enough.
That felt good. Brian, in a not surprising story, buyers of the Bored Ape NFTs are suing because the digital apes turned out to be a bad investment.
You don't say. Those NFTs strike again with those.
Imagine spending $800,000 on a stupid ape and having it be worth $4 now or something.
Oh, God, how much were those things?
They were really expensive. Some of them, the rarest ones were, I think people paid millions for those.
Oh, no.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, I feel bad. I feel bad for the people who did that thinking, all right, well, this will be the next Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin had that like moment where it rocketed up.
Mm-hmm.
And people are looking for that next kind of payday.
Everybody wants a quick turnover. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you're better off sticking to tried and true investment methods. And
that's right. Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race, everybody. That's our financial advice.
Yeah.
Buyers of the NFTs are very sad. The Sotheby's auction house has been named as a defendant in a lawsuit filed by investors who regret buying Bored Ape Yacht Club NFTs that sold for highly inflated prices during the NFT craze in 2021. That feels like millions of years ago now.
It really does.
The Sotheby's auction duped investors by giving, this is their claim, by giving Bored Ape NFTs an air of legitimacy to generate investors. Because it's Sotheby's, right?
Was it the drawing of the ape that gave you the false sense of legitimacy?
Sotheby's known for like, oh, this is King Charles's golf bag.
The actual true... real good auction stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what they think anyway. The boost to Bored Ape NFT prices provided by the auction was rooted in deception, says the lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court in California. It was revealed at the time of the auction that the buyer was now disgraced FTX, which is that dude with all the hair.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yes, the shaggy dude.
Yeah, he looks like
that whole FTX mess.
He's like a rejected... Welcome back, Cotter student that we just never got to know.
He's a horse shack is kind of what he is. Yeah.
He's raising his hands and going, ooh, 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 just to buy something.
Mr. Cutter.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not horse shack. The other guy.
Epstein.
Epstein, thank you. Yes.
Don't go to his island. I'm just saying.
No, no, avoid that too.
Yeah. I'm sure he just. I'm sure
that turned into an unfortunate name all around.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just a regular old prison suicide. I'm sure it had nothing to do with anything else. I'm sure it was just. Look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, as anyone who listens to the show knows. Yeah. There's no way that one of the most prominent jails in America suddenly, in the same night, had the cameras go bad, the guards walk away, and nobody around. There's no way. Yeah. Not a chance. Yeah. Yeah. I think, and I'm, well, whatever. It's the only conspiracy I believe in.
Yeah, I don't even think that's a conspiracy, because it's not like, well, I guess somebody tried to tell everybody that, nope, it was just he hung himself. There was just,
I mean, that's
a
the official story. Guards weren't himself, watching, right?
Yeah, so I guess it would be a conspiracy if we're going against what the official story is.
Yeah, and by the way,
it just feels like, yeah.
Don't take it as me feeling bad for Epstein, because that guy sucked. But
oh, well, yeah. No.
Yeah, he's bad. He's a bad man.
Definitely no defending that guy there.
Yeah, and anybody who engaged in any of that BS should find them, string them up by their testes. All right. anyway, it says here they sold 101 of these apes. Wow. That's 2 years more than Bob Barker bid for his thing.
Boom, boom, boom.
I was saying pre-show when Bobby was here briefly that it's hard for me. 100 is or 99 is an incredible run.
It's a hell of an achievement. Yes, exactly.
But how can you not make the don't bid over 100 joke? You have to.
I know.
Try to be as close to the price without going over, and he did it.
Same, similar thing happened with Betty White, and they're just kind of shows you that the because nobody really made jokes right away after Betty White. We all kind of held a little bit of a higher regard.
She's America's grandma.
Is America's grandma.
Yeah. I miss her to this day.
But then Bob Barker is kind of like, okay, let the jokes fly. But it wasn't, none of the jokes were mean. They were just like, you know, that's not a mean joke, saying that, you know, he went 100 without going over. Or he got as close as he could to the actual retail price of 100 without going over.
Yeah, in a way, it's almost a tribute, because it's like, that guy went out the way he worked for 50 years. He was a host for 50 freaking years.
He was, exactly. And Bob himself would laugh at something like that.
That's right. And then he'd tell me immediately to spay or neuter my cat or dog right as soon as I was going to talk to him.
The price is wrong, bitch, is what he would say.
He would. One of the greatest cameo moments in all of film history.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, these guys are getting screwed. So check this out. They sold a lot of 101 of these things for $24.4 million for its Ape Inn auction in September of that year. Yeah. That means pre-auction estimate of $12 million to $18 million. The average price was over $241 million for each of those.
$241,000.
Yeah. They now sell for a floor price of about $50,000 worth of either cryptocurrency. Ether. Did they say ether?
Ether, yeah.
I was worried they misspelled either.
No, the Ethereum. I guess the Ethereum, or is it just...
It's Ethereum.
A generic term for...
it's got to be Ethereum, because why would they write... That's the only thing it could be, because Ether is not a separate currency. That's weird.
Right. They just write Ether and didn't, like, it's not even capitalized. So I'm guessing they mean Ethereum or just the fact that cryptocurrency is out in the Ether.
Yeah. Basically, it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck to them. We hope this all works out.
Yeah.
Hope so. BioCow sent us a little story. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Actually, he put it in our Discord. Yeah. You're welcome to do that, people, if you want to hear a story on the show. We will often do it. Florida woman reportedly poured Mountain Dew on herself to remove her DNA.
Oh, no.
Or I should say,
are you sure it wasn't DNA. Trying to remove somebody else's DNA?
It's actually closer to that. A Florida woman connected to her roommate's murder allegedly poured Mountain Dew on herself to remove DNA evidence.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so it really was like...
the blood of another.
Okay. You know. I was going with a whole different direction for me. That's what I was doing.
Well, get your black light and put that away there, buddy boy. Let's see. Nicole Max is facing charges for first-degree murder, tampering with evidence, and resisting arrest on July 1st, Daytona Beach, Florida. Were flagged down by a concerned individual over a fire at a home. Bottom line is her idea was, hey, I got blood on me. I'm freaking out here. They're going to catch me. What do I do? A nice cold can of Mountain Dew, which actually, you know what? I mean, she probably had in her head like Coke will take off your battery acid stuff. Battery
right. Buildup. Oh, yeah. So they're thinking, she was probably thinking this would be the solution. Right?
Yeah.
Like it'll cleanse.
In a panic, I'm trying to think what I would do if I had just killed someone. Mm-hmm. I've never done, everybody. Okay, calm down.
Scotty just killed a man.
There are no cold cases with my name on it, all right? I'm just saying. But if I did, and I was like, well, what do I do? And I go to the fridge, because where else would you go? Like, that's where you would go.
Yeah.
And I'd look in there, and if I had soda, I would probably think soda was the best answer, because what else is there? You know, you're not going to put ketchup all over yourself and have them think, oh, it's part of the ketchup.
What else? Yeah, what are the things that you can use to clean yourself? Seltzer.
Yeah. like, was I going to put, like, I don't know. That's, I guess I would still think that something carbonated would probably have more of a effect than not. So, yeah, I guess I want to call this lady crazy. I mean, she's crazy for killing somebody, but I kind of want to call her crazy for the Mountain Dew. But I think maybe that's what anybody would do if they were... They're freaking out, trying to hide evidence. I don't know. Unless she had, like, maybe. If she doesn't have any rubbing alcohol in the house, like everyone does, maybe that would have been better. You know?
I don't know if I could find rubbing. I mean, I know we've got some rubbing alcohol in the house. I don't know where I'd look for it to find it is the problem. I
had a friend in high school named Justin Pinkler or Sprinkler? Spankler? Anyway, I don't remember
Justin
his last name.
Pinkler.
That guy sipped rubbing alcohol.
Oh, geez.
For
really?
Fun. Yeah. And it had the effect of doing what you think it would do. It would make him buzzy. He would get a buzz from it. But there's no way he wasn't doing irreparable harm to his liver or his stomach or his esophagus.
No kidding.
We used to say, Justin, why are you doing that?
He goes, man, this is great. You guys don't even know unless you try it, man. Just don't light any matches, man, he'd say.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's weird.
I'm trying to find something here. I'm trying to make do a setup for a joke. It's taking a long time. All right, I'm not going to do it. I was looking desperately to find the segment of The Who's Won't Get Fooled Again where Daltrey goes, yeah, because I was going to do a David Caruso.
Oh, sunglasses
look
on.
Look out, boys. This murder is a code red. Yeah!
Yeah, I like
it. Couldn't pull it up in time. I struggle. I have it up there. Pulled it up in the sound studio to see if I could find the moment. And the whole audio file is showing up as one big loud blah blah blah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what'll happen. One final story from Hootie 42.
Oh, from Hootie, the Hootie 42.
Hootie 42, which was Level 42 and Hootie and the Blowfish combo concert that happened that year.
It was such a great, loved their song, Something About Holding My Hand.
Yeah, and there's something about holding my hand. I can't do
let her cry. Let her cry.
Let her cry.
Let her cry.
Down
on me.
Kind of miss them. I mean, I know they were just top 40, but... I kind of like
him. Yeah.
Charles Martinet, longtime voice actor for Mario and Luigi, has retired.
Yeah.
He lets it go for one last time.
Aw.
It created a bunch of funny memes where a bunch of like hardcore deep voice actors went to various social media networks and recorded versions of them auditioning to be the new Mario, and it's all very funny. In fact, I think I have one prep for later. I'll play it now.
It's me, Mario.
It's the guy who played... Clive in the new Final Fantasy 16 game. It's like very serious character. But anyway, Martinet, who's been doing this since 1991, is retiring. He'll be stepping into a new role as Mario Ambassador, which to me sounds like they moved him out and said, hey, here's a consolation prize, but whatever. Mm-hmm. This is according to Nintendo. They told IO9 via email that Martinet is not involved in Super Mario Brothers Wonder. This will be the first game without his voice. There will be somebody who sounds just like him, though, I'm sure.
It's a guy who sounds like this. Let you go, Mega Man.
Mario.
Mario, let's go to the waiter room.
The waiter, oh, man.
Hey, Luigi.
A step forward for the character. Let's see. The company is excited to honor his legacy and contributions in the future. His new position as Mario Ambassador, who knows if it's a paid one. Martinet's. Oh, can I say something nice about Doug Bowser real quick? Do you know who that is? Do you know Doug Bowser?
He's the head of Nintendo, or not head of Nintendo, but
president of Nintendo of America.
Nintendo America, yes.
Right. Right. He's a big deal. He took over for Reggie Fils-Aimé back in the whenever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's having it's a good ride for him. Like Nintendo's at a crescendo. They're doing great. Right. And he's an alumni of the University of Utah, and has been in the past. Carter works up there. Is the only reason I know this. Big supporter of the games program up there. Comes out there all the time. Does speeches for him all the time. Loves the place. Huge fan of his former college. So he likes to come out and do stuff. And the other day, they had a big, because they're starting up the new semester, right? So they had a big intro thing and showed off a bunch of stuff. And Carter's been out there working her butt off. And Doug Bowser comes out. And that night, they had a big party as well. And his flight was scheduled to leave before the party. And he decided, all on his own, nobody asked him. Mm-hmm. He just changed his flight. You can do that when you're the president of Nintendo. Not really.
Yeah, you can. You can basically say, probably no charge. Yeah,
no charge. And hung around for the party and, like, you know, hobnobbed with everybody, hanging out. Carter talked to him for a bit. He's the coolest. He is a legitimately cool dude. So
that's awesome.
And his last name is Bowser, and that's amazing.
And it seems like the most appropriate title. I mean, the appropriate job for somebody whose last name is Bowser. Or maybe the most inappropriate job for someone with the last name Bowser.
Just depends on your point of view, I suppose. Be. Yeah. Well, there you go. That is our news for today. Take that with you and take it as you will. We're now going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers time. We'll talk to Steven and hang out. Because I had to do some music picking before Brian got here, I'm going to tell you guys about a song from my nephew's band, Brother. Every time there's a chance for me to pick music, I almost always default to playing something from them because I'm proud of that kid and I really like his music. I think their band name should be something else because it's really hard to SEO. It's like you're almost as bad as calling your band Live or The Band. Yeah, those sorts of things
are
a problem.
The Band, yeah.
But Brother made a song called Goodnight Girl, and it's I have it on good authority. It's actually inspired by my niece who married Chuck.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a really sweet little song and one of their better tracks, I think. And I want you guys to hear it now. So go check out all their work. They're really good. They were also featured in a track on the latest Deadmau5 album. Really, really cool version of that song as well. I don't have permission to play that one, but this one I do. So here it is. It's Goodnight Girl by Brother. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Never stay. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, your server is not the waiter or waitress at your favorite coffee shop. The server is the company that is providing your access to the internet.
It's me, Mario.
And we've returned. That was...
Tell us again who we just heard there.
Oh, that felt weird. That felt really weird.
I know. It just dawned on me. It was like, oh, I'm going to do that real quick.
Oh, I love it. That's Brother, and it's with a period if you're trying to search him. Brother dot.
That's how you know you have the right brother, is if you see a dot.
Yeah, if you see the dot. Again, the song is called Goodnight Girl. It's on YouTube. It's on all the music services. And, of course, something you can buy at Bandcamp, like all the usual things. So Check out Brother for more. I saw Chuck last night. Yeah. Speaking of Mario, it's hilarious. He was dressed in a overalls, a cap, and a button-down that had the sleeves pulled up. He was basically dressed as Mario, but it was black.
Oh, so, wow.
White shirt underneath, but this top thing and the overalls were all black. And he shows up and I go, I think they filled the role. I think they have the new voice actor already. They're not taking auditions, Chuck. And he looked at me like I was going crazy. He had no idea what I was talking about. Yeah. He's a good guy, though.
But I want the job. somebody, I think Shane Maddox said, what about... do you think they're paving the way for Chris Pratt to basically take the audio stuff as well now? Or do you think
No. There's no way. First of all, I think he's too expensive.
Probably, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So they're not going to do that. But also, what Wonder's basically done, so whoever's in it is in it, and it's definitely not him.
Oh, so they actually do have the replacement.
Yeah, haven't talked about who yet, but they've definitely got somebody. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it'd really piss people off if it was AI or something. That would be bad.
Oh, God, that would. Yes.
Yeah. I can see them doing it, but I hope they don't.
Ooh, yeah. Not with what's going on. Not in this climate with the SAG-AFTRA strike. Yeah. Holy cow.
Now, if they did a movie crossover thing, sure, you could see Chris Pratt doing a one-off or whatever. But for the games moving forward, I mean, there's like 3 Mario games a year of various kinds. They're not going to do that. No. But Shane, I like your idea. Okay. Now go in a room, take your camera out, face it at you, and turn slowly in that room.
Slowly spin around.
Let's call Steven Schleicher, who is on today. And
got some sad news from the world of comics that we're going to talk about. Not just the ones in our notes here, but a
couple of them, a couple of gnarlies. I don't like that when comics are hit by sad things.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Hey, it's Steven Schleicher joining us from Hayes, Kansas, Steven, the home of all things Major Spoilers. Hi, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hey. Hello. I flew over your state last night.
Oh, man. It is why it's called a flyover state, right?
Did you wave at us as we flew over?
I did, actually, yeah. You're the one that screwed up my astrophotography, a big old plane right through the middle of one of my shots.
Oh, my God. There's the perfect shot of Jupiter. Click. Oh, it's a Delta flight. Yeah. Damn it.
How's Hayes these days? You doing anything fun there? Are there any kind of big festivals and late summer?
School just started back up, so there's a lot of activities. One of the things that's kind of big, Western Kansas, kind of big for arts community. So we have a big art walk going on this Friday, I believe. Mm. And so that'll bring in a lot of people. And the art walk's a lot of fun. Really good talent in and around the area. So
nice. I'm going to be, it's just reminded me of this, so it's nothing to do with that. But if any of the Salt Lakers are around for the Greek festival in the city next week, or I think it's next, no, I'm sorry, 2 weeks, we're going to be at that. So maybe we'll try to hook up and say hi to people. Cool. We love a good Greek festival. Euros for miles.
The food, a little spanakopita.
Oh, you're not kidding, dude. I'm so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Yeah, weird bottled fizzy drinks that they only make in Greece. Weird stuff like that.
That worries me. I don't know. The yogurt soda thing freaked me out. I don't know if I'd do it, but I'll do all the other stuff.
You'll do all the food. Everything else. Yeah, you'll do all the food.
Hey, before we get to the news that you brought, Stephen, another person who passed away this last weekend was Arlene Sorkin.
So I hesitated to bring that up. So she was the inspiration for Harley Quinn on Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
But the more I started to dig into it, the more I can find no official statement from anybody. This was as of yesterday.
She might still be alive is what you're saying?
Maybe. I don't know. So the original announcement came from a co-worker on Days of Our Lives. And he says, I have it on good authority that, that Arlene Sorkin has passed away. So sad, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, do you have a source for this? He goes, yes, a very close anonymous source. And then of course, TMZ, I think, reported it this morning, but James Gunn retweeted, obviously, but there's been like no Variety, Hollywood Reporter, none of those people have reported on this.
Really?
And oh, so bizarre. I find it very, very strange. And so that's why I hesitated to bring that up, because with Bob Barker, I mean, right away, there's Bob Barker and they've got all the obituary files ready to go and all of these things going out. There was a Whitesnake guy passed away as well. So they had his thing ready to go. Right, and then there was another person. There was actually three that passed away over the weekend, or in the last couple of days. One more, I forget. All those ready to go.
Well, as of this morning, you got People, Vulture, USA Today, Hollywood Reporter, NBC News.
Okay, so they're all reporting
Variety. They're all reporting it now, but you're right. Okay. They're all referencing the confusion, by the way. They were all like,
oh, really? Okay.
They were all saying, early on, this looked like maybe it didn't happen, but now it's all confirmed, I guess. So
yeah, okay. So there you go. So she will be missed. She was great inspiration. Paul Dini said that he watched Days of Our Lives. Is that what she was on?
Yeah, she was
on her in a clown costume and said, okay, I'm basing everything off of this one scene with Arlene Sorkin.
Calliope Bradford. And her character on the show was married to Hugh, but she pronounced it huge, played by Krusty Space Hands himself, John DeLance.
That's right. They were my power couple on that show.
They were, until he disappeared in a time travel accident, and
that show is so weird.
Freaking Days of Our Lives.
So weird. That moment that it had for all of a certain people of a certain age. Such a weird thing for daytime TV.
So damn weird.
It's sad. She was pretty iconic as that voice, and the cartoon created that character. Like, that was the first
first appearance. She didn't appear in the comic books until a year or so after the first season of Batman, the Animated Series, and then kind of took off and really changed after that through a lot of different incarnations. I would say if people are looking for a really good Harley Quinn episode and comic to read, read Mad Love and watch the Mad Love episode. Mad Love, I believe the cartoon came first and then the comic came after, but it's about the horrible abusive relationship that Harley Quinn was in with the Joker. And it's very good. It's a very good episode.
She's also, just a side note, she played the same character in the first Arkham game. I don't think she's in 2 or 3 or City or Night, Dark Knight, whatever it was called, but Batman Arkham Asylum. She is amazing. Her Harley Quinn character never better than it was in that. So freaking
good. Yeah.
Anyway, rest in peace.
She will be missed.
Let's see. What else is going on? We got some bad news here. Some other bad news. Dune 2 got delayed. I'm not happy about this at all because I'm...
Are you like that one person who had the super bad take that was like, this is all the SAG-AFTRA and WGA's fault because they're so freaking greedy. It's a F you to all this. And this guy's like a movie reviewer guy. And it's like, dude.
No, he just has it backwards. I understand when things get delayed because the strike is going on, but it's not about greedy strikers. It's about greedy corporations. So
right.
If he's even got a point, he's got it flipped. And he's a dumbass, so there's that.
Yeah, he is. He took down the tweet and was like, I don't care what people say. Now I'm famous. And it's just like, shut up, dude.
Oh, dude. You know what I don't want to ever get trapped in an elevator with? There's a bunch of people. Ted Cruz is one. There's, I don't want to be in there with that. I can't think of his name. The prop comic. Friend. Who's the redheaded prop comic? I don't want to be stuck in an elevator.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. Sure. There's a bunch of people like that, but I really, really don't want to be trapped in an elevator with clout chasers or engagement farmers. I don't want to be with those people.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Ever. The ones that say shit to get noticed, and then they think that's now they've got a moment of fame and they're somehow getting boners off that. Freaking F off. Mm-hmm. F right off.
So the main reason why Warner Brothers says that they are delaying and pushing this is because obviously with the strike going on, they can't get any of the stars to come and promote the film, which, Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya and all the other big names that are part of this. Isn't Josh Brolin in this one? I forget. You can't get them to come out and do big publicity things. So why not just push that off until next year and do it? And I think people are still super hyped, like you, Scott, for Dune Part 2 and maybe a Dune Part 3. The director kind of teased that over the weekend that he's ready to do a Dune Part 3 if necessary.
Yeah, he wants to do the God Emperor thing. I forgot what it's called. Dune Messiah. I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think the lack of celebrity publicity, especially when a lot of it has already gone out in the magazines, I don't think that's a super solid reason to cancel the premiere. It could be that if you're David Zaslav, a person that I personally despise, it might be another way to just say, hey, here's more money that we lost. So therefore, we are closing that gap of our giant hole that we are in. With our debt. That's me being a little conspiracy theory today, Scott, but wouldn't put it past David Zaslav to say, hey, because we couldn't run this movie, we lost all this money and we're using that to our debt credit.
It's a massive movie. It will be massive for them whenever they do it, but it's a massive revenue push from one year to the other, no matter whose motivations are this or that or whatever. And I'm bummed just because, I want to watch Dune.
So ask yourself again, let's take a kind of a dive. I did this with my students last week and a lot of them were like totally surprised about this. Who's going to suffer most by pushing this movie off 4 months or however long it is to March of next year?
Well, I don't think us being sad, we can't see it as much suffering. So I'm not going to say us.
Okay.
Probably
actors. Are they going to be out of anything?
I don't know.
What's the deal? Do they usually, I guess it depends on if they took a cut of the box office as opposed to an initial payment. They probably got initially paid for the,
not
a cut of the back end.
And plus once this strike is settled, they're going to get a bunch of money anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. Studios probably not. As I already said, probably this is not a great way for Warner Brothers to write a bunch of stuff off. So I wonder who could be in a big problem, especially with the largest movie company in the United States, AMC. Now, what is it? $5 billion in debt, and by 2026 they have to pay off 3.1. I don't know if that's interest, but they have a 3.1 payment coming up, a $1 billion payment coming up in 2026. It would be really interesting if there was somebody who was kind of poking around, maybe wanting to buy AMC, but kind of forcing them into bankruptcy. And I know some people are thinking, well, Stephen, that's vertical integration. That can't be happening because of the Paramount et al. Decree from the Supreme Court. Hey, guess what? August 7th of this year, that is all gone.
Oh, really?
Studios can go back to vertical integration. They can become the producers, they can become the distributors, and they can become the exhibitors.
Again. Yeah, because we had United Artists as a chain owner for quite a while here in Denver. So
I
was wondering how that worked. Okay,
so that's United Artists. So when the Paramount decrees happened, they said you can be a producer, you can be a distributor, or you can be an exhibitor, but you can't be all three.
Can you be two of the three?
Disney does that, right? So Disney did that with the parent company, Disney, and then you have Disney Studios, and then you have Buena Vista, which is the distribution arm for all of their stuff.
Right, and they had Touchtone. They did other weird things. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot like on the streaming side, they do that with Hulu. It's basically the same idea. you know,
yeah.
and
yeah,
Fox
yeah, yeah.
now and everybody else. Oh, interesting. Oh, I heard a thing.
Just a little thing that kind of crossed my mind this past weekend while I was sitting there going, oh, Dune is not making it to theaters. Oh, well, that's okay.
Is it? Have you heard anything about this Showtime, at least streaming wise, Showtime is going to be mushed in with Paramount Plus now or something? It's now a...
I have not heard anything about that, but as we start to look at are streamers making money or not making money, it would make sense for them to start consolidating, especially if the Warner Brothers Discovery thing worked out, you know, in a positive way, is the way whatever this amalgamation has become on this one service, that you may see a lot of consolidation among the streamers that are owned by the same parent company to kind of merge things together.
Oh, I found
it wouldn't surprise
me. I found the official word. I probably could have looked this up earlier, but it says on Paramount Plus, they have actually a post on their blog saying what is happening with Paramount Plus and Showtime. Paramount Plus is now the streaming home of Showtime. If you signed up for Showtime streaming service or the Paramount Plus with Showtime bundle, you may be eligible just to transfer your account to Paramount Plus, where you can continue watching your award-winning Showtime programming. Blah, 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 blah. So basically, they are doing that. They're consolidating. It's a little like the idea that HBO Max and Discovery were going to be mushed together, and they kind of are, but not... Well, I guess they are. They are being mushed together, right?
Yeah, they are mushed together, yeah.
So that's what's happening here. Showtime will now... What's weird is I have Showtime through a bundle I got on Prime, and I canceled Paramount Plus after finishing 1883, not because of it. It's because I just had... I just was taking a break.
1883!
So I wonder what I have now. Do I still just have HBO? Do I have Paramount? Oh, no, I know what I have, because there's an email. They're going to just start charging me $11, and it's all still one big package. All right.
Now, is that what you were paying before, or is suddenly
it's
now
more.
Because you get the best of Peacock and Paramount Plus together? Or
it's
Showtime
more
because
I think Showtime was only $7.99 or something. So
it's
I think as a bundle, it's cheaper. It's cheaper than the bundle, but you know, when you were doing it as a bundle, but it's still not.
Yeah.
It's still more
yeah.
than Showtime was by itself. So there's a little bit of fruit.
I mean, you're already going to get both. You might as well do the bundle, but not. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a thing. Ahsoka is out. Two episodes. I watched them both.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think, Scott?
I liked it. I can tell they're going for another slow burn here. They don't get to a lot of stuff right away. It's a little less of her than I expected in a movie or in a show that's got her name on it.
And part of that is because they are taking a super deep dive into the last 20 years of Star Wars, not the movies, not Mandalorian, but Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars Clone Wars.
Yeah.
That if you're not paying attention to what happened in Clone Wars and with Rebels, you're going to be completely lost going into this.
Yeah, this feels like if you haven't seen, in particular, if you haven't seen Rebels, you're going to be at a disadvantage. I won't say that it's bad TV because you haven't seen it or anything. I don't mean that. But there's going to be some stuff where, in some cases, shot for shot, there is stuff from Rebels.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally, there's a couple of shots in particular that are like, oh, yeah, that's straight out of the cartoon. Like,
oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's cool to see the Lolthcats go from a 3D cartoon animated version to a 3D fuzzy version. That looks pretty cool. The whole Lothal planet looks very, very cool. You get a lot of actors reprising roles. But if you're like, why does anyone care about Thrawn or this Ezra Miller guy? That's all the climax of the main Star Wars Rebels series, which I thought that they were immediately going to launch after that with Ahsoka and Sabine Wren going out and searching for him. But now it looks like we had to wait for this series before they even get to the gateway to go and search for Ezra, who what is it called when they go into light speed?
Like a wormhole
or whatever. Yeah. And sucked him and Thrawn to a distant part of the galaxy. So
I will say this, though. There's a couple things that really stand out. Ray Stevenson, who passed away recently, sadly, finished his role here before that, though, and is amazing as Baylan Skoll. Mm-hmm. He's very good so far. Rosario Dawson, great when she's on camera. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, also great as Hera. I really like Sabine, played by Natasha Lou Bordizzo, I think is how you say her name. But the real standout for me is voice work by David Tennant. That stuff's really good.
Yeah, it took me a minute because I was like, wait a minute, I didn't see David Tennant in this. And it's like, oh yeah, he's the robot.
Yeah, so. And he's very good as the robot. Clancy Brown is in the cartoon and in this as mm-hmm. the governor of the planet. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to like so far, but it is also, let me say this. It's like, Andor was this super, like to this day, I still think Andor is the best thing they've done.
Yes.
But it's, yeah. it's very, unusual. It's not the same as normal Star Wars. This is a return to sabers and the mythology of the Jedi. And like, if you're looking for Star Wars ass Star Wars, this is it. Mm-hmm. A little more, you know, inclined toward the Mando side of things and less so toward this like dirty underground scoundrel business that Andor was mostly about. And so whether that may affect some people's willingness to want to see it or not, I think it's fine so far, but it does feel more like popcorn.
Even if you haven't watched Star Wars Rebels, I think you can get into it. But if you don't know who Ahsoka is, then you need to maybe do a little research.
Yeah, or at the very least, well, it's hard to say. Watch the Clone Wars in its entirety because it's right. a ton.
Watch the entirety, yes. this is a big watch. It's a good watch.
Yeah,
it's something you should see. But yeah,
it's good though. It's good so far.
Yeah, I mean, two episodes. I think
it's really good. Yeah.
I think if you watched everything Star Wars right now, there's like over 195 hours of Star Wars content that's out there leading up to Ahsoka.
Right. That makes sense. By the way, a quick update on this, how you're going to pay for Paramount Plus and the Showtime thing. Yeah. Paramount Plus mm-hmm. Essential is only $6 a month. I assume that does not include any Showtime content. Paramount Plus with Showtime is $11.99 a month, which is what they told me I will start paying for my combination. It's less than it was before with the two things separate. So,
oh, there you go.
Good. All right. It's not bad. Good. It's not bad. Jeff Smith, Bone creator, famous for the Bone comics. A couple other things too. I loved his Shazam.
Yeah, Rassel is really good if you haven't read Rassel.
Oh yeah, Rassel's awesome. His Shazam run was really good. Mm-hmm. Poor dude suffered a heart attack, cardiac arrest over the weekend.
A couple of weekends ago, he had a major heart attack and is in recovery, so much so that his wife went online and said, hey, look, he's not going to be able to go do any tours for the foreseeable future. So they've canceled it for the rest of this year. So if you're a Jeff Smith fan, you're not going to be able to see him in any shows. And I was talking about this on the Major Spoilers podcast last week, and I want to get your guys' input. Yes, granted, we have had indie comics for a long time, but for comics to catch into a mainstream audience, I think we owe a lot of that to Jeff Smith and Bone, because once that stuff hit middle grade readers, we wouldn't have Captain Underpants. We wouldn't have Hilo. We wouldn't have Cop Dog or whatever the man cop thing is. We wouldn't have any of that. And we certainly wouldn't have a rise of independent comics into the mainstream, I don't think, without Jeff Smith. And
no, I'd even argue that web comics owe him like a ton of their legacy. Yeah. You know, like mm-hmm. he
just
made
something.
It,
yeah, there was. Able to cross that line between kids stuff and adult stuff and make it work for both.
Yeah, but even beyond that, it's like, who was self-publishing comics back then? Like, nobody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had, you know, small publishers. I mean, certainly you had Cerebus, and you had, you know, the crazy drug hippie stuff from the 60s and 70s. But to really become somebody that's not a Marvel or a DC, who comes out of essentially nowhere and creates comics and gets young readers hooked on that and sells more comics to middle and grade schoolers through Scholastic Press than, you know, traditional comics markets could sell. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And just a shout out to our pal, Steve Hammaker, who's a member of our community. He was the colorist for all that stuff.
Colored
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's pretty devastated by all this because they all live in.
Sure. Yeah.
I think they live in Columbus now, or I think Jeff Smith does. I'm not actually sure about that. I know he's there all the time, but
news is he's recovering. So that's the good thing.
That is great news to hear. Good. And wish he has a fast one. Well, there you go, everybody. That's all she wrote there at themajorspoilers.com. Not really, because if you go there, there's tons of content, including podcasts and other stuff. Steven, is there anything in particular you'd like to point people toward?
If you are wondering what comics are coming up, we've got solicitations from most of the publishers for the months ahead. You can go find them out there. If you're looking for toys or statues or whatever, we've got those listings all over there at majorspoilers.com. And I would encourage people to go and do that. And even though this weekend was a beautiful weekend in Kansas... 78 degrees is a high.
Yeah.
I know other people are still super hot.
Lovely.
Yeah. So please, please, please stay hydrated.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best. So will Brian. We'll both drink a lot, you know?
Absolutely will. Drink a little water in the form of coffee right now.
Yeah. Did you guys have any cool drinky drinks while you were there? Like any kind of southern...
Oh, so glad you asked. Yeah, we had a drink that was made by Sean Weiland or Weiland from that season of ANTP where we had all the Seans.
Oh, that was bartender Sean. Sean heavy season. Yeah, remember that.
It was a very Sean heavy season. He's working on a show with September that I'm excited to hear when it finally comes out. But he created a drink just for us for the mountains that was gin and bitters and thyme, the herb thyme. It was called Wild Mountain Thyme, and it was very, very good.
Cool name. Did he make it up, or is that a thing you already knew? Or?
He did. No, he made it up. He came up with the recipe and everything.
You guys with
your... Oh, no bitters. Not bitter at all, still says Cyrenex. I know. Sorry. Sorry, Sean. Yeah, sorry.
That's cool, man. That's awesome.
The cocktail and mocktail recipes are in the Discord, and even recorded a really cool video talking about how he makes it.
I was supposed to ask something of the tadpole that Kim wanted me to ask and put out there, and now I can't remember it.
Oh.
Because you just reminded me of this. Like, we have so many people that are, like, good at something.
Yeah.
And this weekend, Kim's like, oh, I wonder if someone knows about this. You should ask on the show. And I completely forgot what it is. I'll remember for tomorrow.
All right? Tomorrow's show, we'll have it on there. I didn't even get a chance to talk about the tour that we went on, the comedy horror bus tour, comedy haunted bus tour that we went on in Asheville. We all got on this bus and got driven around by this dude called Mr. Bones, and he looked the part, kind of voodoo king Mr. Bones.
Oh, I saw a picture. Guy. Yeah, he's a cool looking. I can pull this up for everybody. Show him.
Yeah. But it was his delivery was fantastic. His some of the jokes were a little, you know, low hanging fruit, a little punny, but I'd say for the most part, the jokes were great. His delivery, he sold them though.
So yeah. That's fantastic. A specific skill set to do those bus tour type things, isn't it?
It for sure. Yeah. They had a woman who was his, co-host for this thing named Karen, and her job was to play all of these haunted characters in between actual horror stories. She would play the characterizations of these haunted ghost story characters, but she would do this as the bus was driving around, and we would drive up and find her in the bus. So we're trying to figure out, like, how is she getting around to all these places, electric scooter or car, or we just don't realize that, you know, like all the places we're going, kind of doing cloverleaf, and so we're always ending up really close to the center place where all she has to do is just change her outfit and hop out.
but really cool
bus tour.
That is cool. So we're looking at the guy right now. He's got makeup under his eyes to make him look haunted.
Yes, and a little dangly leather thing. The dude played guitar while we were on the bus, like did a Bon Jovi Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
It was very impressive dude.
Do you ever, the whole time you're there, did you ever say, I do declare? Did that ever come out of your mouth while you were in the South?
No, I never did. I had some hot flashes, but I never said, I do declare.
I got a case of the vapors.
Yeah.
Well, all right then.
Hot.
Got a quick text here from Michael. He says this, Hi, TMS. This is Michael from Edmonton. I have a gamer question for both Scott and Brian, and if anyone out there wants to, they can chime in. Has anyone played Mario Golf Super Rush on the Switch? I also loved the Mario Golf series, and this went under my radar. I'm wondering if this is worth putting time into and if there is fun in it. Thanks again. Yes, Michael, I own that game, and it's great. If you were a fan of the Mario Golf series, this is another one of those. I don't think the campaign is as deep as previous entries, which is my only complaint. The GBA game, the N64 game, and even the Game Boy Color games had these really extensive single player modes with like story and RPG elements and all this stuff, and they were awesome. This is way lighter on that front, so if that's okay. A deal breaker, then I would probably avoid it. However, just like good old fashioned golf mechanics and multiplayer and let's go do nine holes kind of a sensibility, it's as good as it was ever going to be. So, Brian, do you ever play it?
Cool.
You ever try?
I haven't played it. No, I've probably played all the other Mario golf games up to this one. I didn't realize this was a thing. So, Sugar Rush.
Yeah.
Sugar Rush.
The reason they call it Super Rush is there's a mode where you race to get.
Oh,
yeah.
Scratch that. I have played this. Okay. Yeah. So you race between holes.
Yeah. Yes. You race between holes and try to get your hole in faster before anyone else does.
I have played this. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I do have this. This is a few years old. This isn't new.
No. This is like 2-3 years or maybe more. Around.
I totally had it.
Either maybe even pre-pandemic. I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's going to do it. Hey, a reminder. Listen, we have this Patreon. Okay. Without it, Brian and I are dead in the water. We just can't do a show without it. We need you guys.
Can't do it. It just won't happen.
No.
Yeah.
And every time we get a $6,000 bill for water or cars, guess what? We're screwed for a while. Sorry. All right. Yes. So we need all the support we can get because we are just a couple of lowly podcasters trying to make our way in this world. Head on over to patreon.com/TMS and help make that possible. You'll get no commercials ever. You'll get pre-show content every day. Couch parties on the weekend. Ooh, we'll resume the She-Hulk this week. Ooh. Oh, no, wait. Are we doing
Playdate.
Playdate. Yeah. Duh. We got a new month rolling
over. Then we will resume She-Hulk in a week.
That's right. But look forward to that because Playdate's really fun. You get art in the mail, other great monthly benefits. We got our tea level. We got all kinds of cool stuff happening at patreon.com/TMS. And the biggest point of all is you get to support your favorite morning show. So show your support today and hop on over there and join these amazing people who already do. And thank you all for your support.
Please do. Yeah.
That is going to do it for today's show. Before we go, though, let's do this song. So because I picked all the music today, I just kind of went with stuff I like. And
yeah, nothing wrong with that at all.
Whatever Brian brings, I always like. But in this case, it's like, well, what am I in the mood for? And I got in the mood for Dire Straits. So I started hunting around for cool covers of Dire Straits songs. And Sultans of Swing came up. Because I feel like Money for Nothing has got some problematic lyrics in it. So
it does, even though they're told from the perspective of a couple of ignorant furniture delivery guys.
Yeah, yes, it's just kind of rough.
Still, yeah,
a little bit rough. And there's some covers of that stuff where people swap out words, but yeah. I didn't want to do that either. Because also I feel like that's a little weird when you take old songs and change them. So
I know. It's like such a double-edged sword. It's like, ooh, maybe don't have that word in there, even if it is, you know, the character saying it. But then somebody comes like, oh, you changed the lyrics. You took the...
It's a definition of that two-edged sword for sure. But anyway, I like Dire Straits. I like Sultans of Swing. And I really like this cover by Mary Spender and Josh Turner. This is easy to find on YouTube and various other places. It's a really, really great cover of this old, amazing song. And we're going to play it for you now. We'll be back tomorrow with a regular episode of TMS. So bring your Tuesday pants, everybody. And we'll see you then. Brian, it's good to have you home. Welcome back home.
It's good to be back. Thank you. And thanks again to Bobby for filling in on Thursday.
Yeah, he did great. And his very temporary 5-minute fill-in this morning. Nice job, Bobby.
Yes, exactly. Very brief while I tried one more thing and whatever the damn ISP said. Oh, sorry. Yeah, now we forgot this switch.
Oops, they say. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
You get a shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park, but meantime, south of the river, you stop and you hold everything. Ben is blowing Dixie double four time. You feel alright when you hear that music ring. But now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain to hear the jazz roll down. Competition in other places. Oh, but the horns, they're blowing that sound. Way on down south, way on down South London town. Check out Guitar George, he knows all the chords. Mine is strictly rhythm, he doesn't want to make it cry or sing. Lieutenant old guitar is all he can afford. When he gets up under the lights to play his thing, and Harry doesn't mind if he doesn't make the scene. He's got a daytime job, he's doing alright. He can play the honky-tonk like anything. He's saving it up for Friday night with the Sultans, with the Sultans of Swing.
Thank you. Great.
Get more at frogpants.com.
You got seeds. I will clone the shit out of them.
I don't know what that is. That's a...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.